As we do every Thursday at 9:30, we say hello to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, senior NHL writer for them, presented by ESPN Bet. And Greg, I hope you were at the Garden last night.
I was not at the Garden last night. I was there for the previous one where they tried to get Matt Rempe to fight, and he wouldn't because it was at a time when he had been fighting like everybody, and then the Rangers told him not to fight. So then the Devils, of course, called him a coward. And then last night we all saw what happened at the top of the game. I'll say this: I'm in the minority on this amongst other Devils fans. I thought that was an embarrassment for the Devils last night. Like, I have no problem with them trying to square things with Matt Rempe after what he's done against that team and their previous meetings, you know, injuring players and whatnot. Like, that's fine by me. What we saw at the beginning of the game last night is, look, I have a newborn daughter. I know what a full diaper looks like. That was a full diaper moment for the Devils. They blew their season by blowing a lead against the Penguins the night before. They had a lane to make the playoffs, and they absolutely crashed the car. It was just this moment of petulance and trying to, like, you know, pop the fans one last time in a season that's been an abject disaster. It was one of those moments where it's like, congratulations, you bloodied Matt Rempe. Put up a banner. It's the only one you're going to get this year.
Let me ask this, Greg. I mean, so that was no – I mean, is that talked about before the game that's going to happen? Does everybody know that's going to happen? Do both teams know that's going to happen?
There's a bit of confusion as to exactly how it went down, because both coaches last night, Peter Laviolette for the Rangers and Travis Green for the Devils, both kind of feigned responsibility for it. So, like, the Devils clearly put out a lineup that is out there for a fight, and the Rangers responded in kind with Rempe and some others. Obviously, if you really want to get granular about it, would the Rangers have their top, their second best defensive pairing out there if they know everybody's just going to fight? Maybe not, but both teams were kind of coy about who started it. But let's be honest, you've got one team that basically called out Rempe and the Rangers after their last meeting to say that the vengeance was incomplete and that the story's not finished yet. And then you get a line brawl at the start of the game.
Okay, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, Matt Rempe, Roman Reigns, obviously a parallel there in their careers.
I know Gary Bettman probably woke up this morning thinking, oh, my goodness. But I got to tell you, Greg, at my gym this morning, that fight, that's all everybody was talking about. I mean, NHL was on the front page and the front minds of people late last night and this morning. They wake up. Is this good for hockey as we head into the playoffs, or are they like, not so good?
Of course. Listen, there's always going to be a reaction from some people that look at what happened last night and say, this is the reason why hockey will never grow out of its niche in the United States. And then there are people like you who correctly say, this is the thing that got people talking about hockey, right? I think as long as the NHL is in a place where this doesn't happen every week, where it's not a situation where people are talking about a catastrophic injury, you know, the NHL, fighting's still legal. I mean, fighting has always been legal under Gary Bettman. I think they knew that gradually, because of changes to rules, the way teams are made up, down in the minor leagues and stuff about fighting, like, they knew it was going to subside a little bit, but it's always been legal. There's always been a winking acceptance of it. And frankly, national television, first 2 seconds of a game, that kind of thing happens. It gets people talking about hockey.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski. We love talking about hockey from ESPN here on the Chasing Big Joe show. So the Predators have now dropped three in a row, and, you know, we've been talking about it. Roman Josi was on our show yesterday that you look at Tuesday night's game against Boston, that one really stings because the Predators did play well. They played good enough that, you know, had they scored on the power play, they probably win that game. But Boston, you know, was able to score shorthanded, and that ultimately was all they needed to do to skate away with that. Now you fast forward to tonight against St. Louis. This is the epitome of a playoff-type atmosphere with the Blues still having a chance to get into the playoffs. How do you view this one tonight?
Yeah, I think if you're the Predators, you want to start to kind of rebuild the momentum because, I do think that there's probably a legitimate concern around the team right now that they've peaked too early. You know, you roll like they did after the Vegas thing, and get yourself into a playoff spot and play the best, you know, like have like the second or third best record in the league after like February 1st. It's hard to maintain that momentum, but you certainly want to at least get 75% of it back before the playoffs hit to really start playing good hockey again. So, you know, every team is kind of stressing this is a big test for us. I was talking to some people in Edmonton yesterday. You're like, this Dallas game is a big test for us last night. They failed spectacularly. They might get held back a grade with the way they played in Dallas last night if that was a big test. But I do think for the Predators against the Blues, it's a good test. Like, show us that you've got the ability to play the kind of hockey that you've played for weeks on end against a team that's going to be very hungry, and then you can kind of just start rebuilding a little bit of that momentum as we get closer to the postseason starting.
Greg, Andrew Burnett was on our morning show and was talking about the game tonight and said, and I love this word always comes up in late March and April, desperation. And Andrew Burnett said, we need to be as desperate as the St. Louis Blues are tonight. Is that a good way for the Preds to approach this game?
It is, and I think it's something that a lot of coaches are dealing with. You know, the situation in Philadelphia with the Flyers right now and John Tortorella really calling out his team. I thought he had a really good point yesterday in his rant, which is that this team has played well enough to get to within playoff position, but they don't know how much better they have to play to actually make the playoffs. So I thought that was a really astute point. Like, it's almost like, you know, they looked at the probabilities of them being a playoff team and said, all right, we're in, without really understanding that you got to close the deal. And I think a lot of coaches, Brunet included, are probably preaching that to their players. Look, you know, things are looking good. Things are looking great. But when, you know, to close out this thing and then also when the playoffs start, we've got to be better than we've ever been. And I think that's a really good message for teams at this point in the season.
I was looking at in the Western Conference in the Central Division. I mean, the Dallas Stars, I mean, they 8 in a row of rolling. So are we now seeing these to start picking up? I mean, is that important with the Preds tonight? Need to stop this 3-game slide and kind of turn the table, because you see teams like Dallas that are making that momentum push as we head into the playoffs?
Yeah. You don't want to have to play them, that's for sure. But you might be stuck playing them based on how the standings are going right now. Dallas is – I heard somebody say scary. They're very scary. I mean, like, they were the bridesmaid in the conference last year, played really well. If a couple things break the right way, they're probably playing for the Stanley Cup last year. They're better than that team, you know, with the acquisition of Chris Tanev at the trade deadline, with some of their younger players contributing. They've got maybe one of the deepest forward groups in the league, with every line able to do some damage. And then the really scary part is that the only flaw in their game throughout the season has been that Jake Oettinger, their star goalie, hadn't been playing up to his old standards. Well, he's been one of the best goalies in the league in, like, his last, you know, 5 or 6 starts. So if he's going and the rest of this team is going, they are a very formidable bunch in the Western Conference.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. Yeah, Dallas is, I think as the kids say, a wagon, the best way to put it.
No, without question. I actually literally tweeted a picture of a wagon yesterday after the game.
I was setting you up for that. That was perfect. I want to get real quick your opinion. I know you're a wrestling guy. Does Cody Rhodes, in fact, finish the story this weekend at WrestleMania?
I think if he doesn't finish the story, there's a very good chance that people in Philadelphia will grab their torches and march on WWE headquarters in Connecticut. It's gotten to the point where if it doesn't happen, I don't even know what the reaction is going to be. It's either going to be abject anger or maybe even apathy because they've just stretched this thing out too long. The real intrigue is what happens next with the bloodline. You know, clearly they screwed up the whole thing with The Rock and Roman, thinking that people wanted that when in fact they wanted Cody to finish the story. But that doesn't mean that people don't want Rock and Roman, which means that, you know, after whatever happens in that title match with Cody, they're going to have to pivot to the next thing. And I think we all assume the next thing is going to be that The Rock takes over the bloodline, which will probably carry us to a match between those two at the next WrestleMania. So a lot of intrigue, a lot of pieces moving. I don't know, man. Those matches will be fun, but give me Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. That's the match I'm most looking forward to maybe at WrestleMania, because that's going to be an absolute banger.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Booker T going to join us in about 45 minutes, so looking forward to that.
Oh, my God, the king of the spinneroonie.
Exactly.
By the way, Greg, it's National Hug a News Person Day, so we'd like to give you a big old hug from Nashville, okay?
Well, I appreciate that you think I'm a news person.
Well, we're all in the news. You're in the news, so whether you work sports or news, you're one of those.
Some people may say that I'm in the media rather than being a news person, but I'll take it.
You got it, buddy.
Appreciate it, Greg. As always, we'll talk next week.
Take care.